So for several years now in the church, we celebrated this feast of the Holy Family in what's called the Sunday in the octave of the Christmas feast. So octave is from 25th of December to the 1st of January. And when a Sunday lands within there, this is how it's celebrated, the Holy Family. And so whenever we have these doctrinal feasts, as I would call them, about an aspect of God's life, we can learn a few things from them. They're on the calendar to teach us, one, about who God is, about God's own nature, and about who Jesus is, his identity, first. And then from that, who we are, too. Learning from him, we learn who we are as well. So both those things are at play in today's beautiful feast of the Holy Family. So what do we learn then about God's own nature and about who Jesus is, his identity, from today's feast? I would say two very important and often passed over aspects of the Lord's life that are good for us to think about. And they're mysterious, but they tell us some things about how God operates and then how we operate too. The first very obvious point, so obvious we do often skip over it, is that God had a family. God chose to have a family. That's a remarkable thing to think about. In our minds, I sometimes think that God is this abstract creature in the sky without a face or hands or feet or, you know, a care perhaps of us here down on the cold earth as it might be here today in West Bend. But that's not true. The radical Christian claim is that God was born, that God has a mother, that God has a legal father in Joseph who raised him, and therefore God has a family. God chose to have a family. That means, in a special way, God does bless and approve of family life. He wanted to have one. He needed to have one. So God has a family. That means he is like us. He's human. He's not just abstract. And that means that he shares in common with the human condition what we all have. We all have families, whether we like them or not. We all have them. And God says, I know. I have one too. Therefore, I can relate to you, and I know what it's like to be in families because God says, I myself had and still have one. So God has a family. So that means that this puts sort of a fuller picture on the Christmas celebration. He's not just born, he lives in a household. I'll say it again, he lives in a household. We know that that's not always a fun thing to do, right? Joys and sorrows come with that. So God knows the human condition. He has a family. God has family. Second point about who Jesus is, which also shows us a bit about who we are too. It says at the end of today's gospel from Luke, we hear in this particular year, year B of our cycle of readings, about his presentation as a child in Jerusalem at his 40th day of life. He goes to the temple. His parents bring him there. It says at the end that when it's done, he goes with them back up to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth, and he grows up there. It says he grows in wisdom and grace, and God blesses the Holy Family in Nazareth. Interesting to think that Jesus grows up. He's God, after all, right? So how would he grow, exactly? What does that even mean? It's mysterious, to be sure. I mean, God knows everything, it's a fact. But what this, again, shows us is how radical God's emptying was to become one of us. He chooses in his human nature to submit himself to the limitations of our own intellect and our own horizons of thought. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Neither do you. I'm a finite, limited human being. That's what happens in our condition. So what this reading tells us is that God freely chose to enter into the same limitations. So Jesus didn't know everything when he was a baby. He had to grow up. He had to become wise. He had to become strong. He had to learn things, perhaps by making mistakes the hard way, perhaps in life. And it's true, as he gets older, and even as a 12-year-old, we'll find in next year's reading on this feast day, he does know some things that are beyond human capacity. He knows his Father very, very well, his Heavenly Father, in a way that nobody ever has before or since. And indeed, at different points in his life, the divinity comes shining through in that way. That's true. But in general, a careful reading of the gospel shows that Jesus' knowledge is intentionally limited. He freely chooses to become limited. This is important for a couple reasons. Again, the first is he knows our human condition. He knows what it's like to be us. We sometimes forget that simple and beautiful Christian fact. No other faith in the world claims something so radical. God knows humanity from the inside out. He is therefore relatable in every possible way. So if you're having a bad day, if you're having a good day, if things are hard, if things are good, God says, yeah, I know, I've been there. I get it. I have walked and still walk in your shoes. I had to grow up just like you had to grow up too, and learn things just like you had to learn too. I was eager to live in the limitations of the human condition, to know what you know and understand what you understand and experience what you experience. God says, I did all of that. It's really important to know that about our great God who loves us just so much. That also means, in a special way, that the vehicle that God chose to raise his son, the instrument, the mechanism, if you will, the unit, is the family. That means that God says that the family is his preferred teaching tool in every single generation. It's not perfect. No families ever are. And it seems like in every era we try and invent some different way to do it, you know, some way to rearrange the human conditions so that families aren't needed anymore. And we're doing it again today, unfortunately, too, in lots of ways, socially, legally, whatnot. But the feast tells us, no, the way that God wanted his own son to grow in wisdom and grace was not to be born on a cloud, not to be raised by robots or droids or whatever, to grow up with a mom and a dad in a household of love and stability. That's how God wanted his son to be raised on this earth. So that means that he has a special place in his plan for family life. That's how we're all supposed to grow in wisdom and in grace. So those are things to know about God, right? About Jesus' nature. Fully man, fully God, in a family, God is a family, and he had to grow up just like we have to grow up. All those things are true about Jesus. And we know that the family, as in a female mom and a male husband married to welcome children to the world, either by adoption or through natural birth, that is God's chosen mechanism to move the world forward and grow up new human beings over and over again. And we change that at our peril. Not good to mess with that structure, because God blesses that structure. Really important things to know. What about, therefore, family life itself? We learned about God's family. What does it teach us about us? What about our own family life from this beautiful feast day? Because part of why the church put this on the calendar in the 1890s was to teach us how to live as families based on how the Holy Family lived. We can learn a few things. I'd say there are three insights from today's gospel from Luke that should shape our own family life too and give us some comfort, I think, in the challenges that families often bring in every era, not just today. The first thing we know about the Holy Family that would help us, I think, in our own families is that they were poor. They were poor. We hear in Luke's gospel that Joseph takes his family to the temple on the 40th day of the child's life, and because the law of Moses says so, when the firstborn son comes into the world, they're to be offered back to God. And you do that by offering the sacrifice in the temple on behalf of the son. You can offer either, it says in the law, a young lamb, or it says if you can't afford that, you may offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's the second offering for those who are not of financial means. Luke tells us that Joseph offered the two turtle doves / the two pigeons. That tells us they were poor. They were among the poorest of the poor in their territories. That's really interesting. So God chooses to become a family person. He's born in a family, raised in a family, and not only that, he chooses to be born in a poor family. And not as though the poor are better or something like that. That's not so much the point. But it does mean that God recognizes the value in simplicity and in poverty. And maybe, therefore, since Joseph and Mary and Jesus were content to live in simplicity, it tells us that we can sometimes, I think, learn from that as well, too. Think of the troubles that arise in families today when we make the most important thing material possessions. Salaries and paychecks are very important, it is true. They provide for families and they are a blessing from God. That's true. However, they are a corrupting thing at times if we're not careful. When money becomes more important, or status becomes important, or career becomes more important, it puts great strains on family life if we're not very careful how we pray through that delicate situation. So across all time, Joseph and Mary and Jesus beckon to our families saying, don't be afraid to be simple. Don't be afraid to be simple. You don't need the latest thing, the best toy, the coolest house. Insert American idea here. It's okay, they say, to be simple and live in the simplicity of each other's love, and let that be enough for you. God says, good enough for me, good enough for you. Good lesson for us to think about what often puts strains on families. Money can be a blessing and a real challenge, depending upon how we handle it, no? Holy Family is poor, we can be poor too. Second thing from the gospel about family life, they're obedient. They're very, very obedient. Joseph goes up to the temple in Jerusalem because he was supposed to. It was God's rule. He presents the child because on the 40th day, that's what you do. And there was no questioning. There was no debating or hemming or hawing about it. They just simply said, this is what we do. Here's the sacrifice. Here's our obligation. Here's what we do. That's a great lesson for all of us. It's easy to find excuses in a family to not do things as God wants us to do, to not live under the umbrella of his law. But the commandments are there, every last one of them, for our benefit. And we hear them in the first and second reading about how moms and dads and kids should treat each other. Those are all for our absolute and total benefit. And we disobey them at our peril. We really and truly do. So we can learn from the obedience of the Holy Family and say to ourselves and our own families, we will obey God's law too. That will set the tone for our households, and as we do, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed accordingly. Third thing we learn about ourselves and the Holy Family from today's gospel from Luke, and it's mysterious and interesting, and it's really, I think, something that hits home for me anyhow, and I think you too. They suffered. The Holy Family did indeed suffer. It was at the heart of their family from the very, very beginning. Joseph, Mary come to the temple. They bring Jesus in their arms. And as Luke tells the story, this strange, mysterious man named Simeon comes forward, picks up the child, praises God for this newborn infant to the astonishment of his mother and Joseph. And then he hands the child back to Mary and looks at her and says, your heart is going to be broken because of this child. So the thoughts of the entire world could be laid bare. You're going to suffer. You are going to suffer. He says it to her right there. The child's 40 days old, and he says, your heart is going to break. Imagine what that was like to take that in and to contemplate that. She could have put him down right there and said, I'm leaving. Somebody else can raise this kid. Goodbye. Joseph, same thing. He's not my son. You take care of him, Mary. Going home. Easy to do. But no, they stayed with it because they trusted in God's plan. What that tells me is that suffering has been in family life from the very beginning of time. And it's so tempting for us, I think, in every era, not just today, but everyone, to run at the first sight of difficulty in families. Marriages are hard. They are hard, hard work. And we make vows, the evil one, the devil, tries so hard to get us to break them, to make us think it's not possible, it's going to fail. There's all these things that work against stable marriages and raising kids, and we struggle to try and bring life into the world. It's a lot of work. And it's so tempting sometimes as pastors, as fathers of parishes, or as heads of households to say, I'm done. I'm just done with this. I don't want to suffer in this family anymore. When we get to that point, and it does come for us all and every family with no exceptions, today's gospel and today's feast day should be a comfort. Because Jesus, Mary, and Joseph say, I know. We know. It's not easy to be in a family. Suffering comes for us all. Don't give up. And know that we are the Holy Family with you, families, in your struggles. Today's feast should be a challenge to greatness, I think, for families in every era, today included, as well as, I think, a great consolation. God stretches out his hand and says to all families, I bless your homes. I bless the frustrations. I bless the challenges. I bless the joys. I know, God says, because I have lived in it. My family suffered too. And do not be afraid if yours do too. And do not run out on each other. Stick it out. figure it out and run back to the cross, and as you do, you will experience deeper and deeper and deeper bonds. It's a hard, hard thing to be sure. But if it feels hard to us, again, we go back to the truth that God says, I know what you're going through. I have been through it myself. And I strengthen you in the challenge of it all. And I bless the mess that family life often is. And through it all, I make you holy. So don't run. Don't run. Some lessons, anyhow, from the Holy Family on this feast of the Holy Family for all of our own families, right? Moms and dads, husbands and wives, grandmas and grandpas, God blesses you today. The church blesses you today. The church strengthens you today and affirms your vocation to live in the world in the most important, messy, and necessary of units, the family. It is absolutely essential for all of its difficulties. We cannot be without it. That's why this feast day is so important. God had a family. He knew what it was like to grow up like we often do. He knows it. He was poor. He was obedient. He suffered. And through all of that, he found grace, joy, and wisdom. Good enough for him. Good enough for us.